It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today on It's a Good Life, our study continues in the book of Romans, and we're going to pick up with chapter 13. Well, let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. On our website, you'll be able to find Bible study helps, and if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you'll also be able to find help on there, showing you through the Scriptures how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You know, I've come into contact with individuals throughout my ministry that when I ask them, are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? Some people say, well, I hope so. If that's you today and you just hope that you're on your way to heaven, you can know for sure. And one way you can know is to go to our website, and there's a place on there that you can go to that will tell you how to make sure, 100% sure, that you are on your way to heaven. lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. And keep listening to this study because I'll be sure and tell you about getting saved as we study this section of Scripture. Well, in Romans chapter 13, we continue our study, and let me give you two objectives in studying this chapter. First is to understand our relationship to the government. And then we see it's also to appreciate the importance of love and moral purity. And as we start, we want to look at verses 1 through 5, beginning with verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Well, you see, it says, let every soul. In other words, let every person be subject. This means to take one's proper place under those who are in authority. And then we see unto the higher powers. This means the governing authorities. The powers that be are ordained of God. It means that the human government that was instituted by God after the Genesis flood was instituted by God. Well, now the power of human government comes from God, and God is the one who established human government. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Well, you see, that's speaking to us. We're to honor those who are in authority. Romans chapter 13 and verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Well, anyone who opposes human government opposes the rule of God and will pay the consequences. Do you ever get a speeding ticket? Well, you paid the consequences. If you've ever done anything and you got caught for it, and if you've done anything wrong, you got caught for it, you've paid the consequences. And that's what that verse is teaching. You're going to pay a consequence when you do wrong, and especially when you do wrong against the higher powers, against, we'll say, the police, the government, whatever. Verse 3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Do good, and you won't have to worry about it, is what he's saying here. And he goes on to say, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Well, you see, this verse talks about rulers, and for rulers in government are only a threat to those who oppose the government. Well, we may see some get in the government that we don't agree with, and maybe they're not living up to what they're supposed to do, but we are to reverence the office that these people are in. Well, notice Paul continues by asking, if you do evil, why wouldn't you be afraid of the governing authorities? And if you do good, you will have praise or approval of those. And he says you also have the approval of God when you do right, when you go by what you're supposed to do, and you don't do wrong, you don't go against the higher authorities. You do what you're supposed to do. Well, verse 4 says, for he is the minister of God. They're speaking of the person who's in authority. He's in charge. And that's the police officer, the magistrate, or whoever it is. It says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We see God's servant in government is there for your good, according to that verse. And if you do wrong, you need to fear because God's servant in the government will punish you. Now, once again, we may not always agree with what's being done in government, but we need to remember that government was established by God. And if something is going on there that shouldn't be happening within the government, then in due time, God will take care of that. Things will change. Well, in verse 5, it goes on to say, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. In other words, you need to obey the law, not only because of punishment, but also because you know right from wrong. You know if you've done wrong, and you need to obey. You need to do what's right. Well, verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Did you ever think of a police officer as being a minister of God? Well, that's what the Bible says. We're to honor God's servants in the government because they are his servants and serve him faithfully. Now, at least many of them, most of them do, I would suspect, and I hope they do. I may not agree with everything those in authority in the government say and the things that they do. I don't have to be in agreement with them, but I need to do what they say, and that is, unless it conflicts with God, unless it conflicts with what he has said to do. I am to honor those people. I am to pray for them, pray for their health, pray for that they'll make right decisions, and also pray that if they're not saved, they will ask Jesus to come into their hearts. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor, give to whom God has set forth as his representatives in government. In other words, everything that is appropriate, establish payments and reverential respect and honor. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 through 21, it says, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Well, the Lord is teaching us that it is proper to pay taxes. It is proper to pay the people who are governing over us. And although it may bother us to pay taxes and all those things, it is established by God that we are to do such things. We may not like all of these things, but it is established by God. That's the old human coming out at us. Well, notice with me verses 8 through 10, the value of love. Verse 8 starts by saying, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Well, you see, we pay what is due to whom it is due. And doing that, you will owe no man anything. In other words, very few people can pay for a car, an automobile, with cash. And very few people can pay for a home today with cash. And what it means is don't drop behind in your payments to anyone. Don't try to defraud a person out of the money that is due them. But we are to pay for the things that we buy and that we've been allowed to purchase. We're to pay for those things. It teaches us in verse 8 that when we love another fellow human, that love is a fulfillment of the law of God. Now, in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, it talks about this. Well, now in verse 9 of Romans 13, it says, for this, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, notice verse 8 now. It says, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, it goes on talking about love in verse 9. Because of love mentioned in verse 8, we understand that we are not to, first of all, commit adultery, not to kill. And this means to murder, not to take something illegally, not to falsely accuse someone, and not to want the property of someone else. Well, it goes on to say in verse 9, any other commandments of God that come to mind can be comprehended or summed up when we love others as we love ourselves. And that's pretty straightforward when we think about it. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Well, now we look at verse 10 of this chapter, and this starts a section of Scripture of 11 through 13, actually, and that concerns moral purity. Verse 10 says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Well, now this verse is continuing with the subject of love. And the only way a person can really love is to fulfill the law. And the only way to fulfill the law is through the one who fulfilled the law, and that is Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." And this is Jesus speaking. He says, I've not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And the only way that we fulfill the law is through Jesus Christ. Well, verse 11 continues on by saying, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Well, that means that we need to be aware that we shouldn't walk around slumbering as if we're in a stupor or something, but we're to be awake. Pay attention. You're to be aware that it is well past the time to wake up. Our salvation, our deliverance, or our rescue is closer than the time when we got saved. In other words, the Lord's coming back in the rapture of the church. "Come up hither," he'll say, and maybe we'll close our eyes in death. Either way, we're winners once we know Jesus Christ. We're winners because when we fall asleep in the Lord, I believe we see him. We go to heaven immediately. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Well, that's talking not only about a person getting saved, arising from the dead. You see, you're dead in sins and trespasses, but you're made alive through Christ. And even then, you're to wake up after you get saved. And some people just act like they're asleep all the time. And that's not the way it should be. Well, believers know God's prophetic program, which he has revealed in Scripture. Our salvation is closer. And I've already spoken of this. Jesus is coming for us. And whether he comes for us or not, we don't live forever in this body as saved people. So therefore, one way or another, we're going to be with the Lord soon. And that's what the verse is trying to get through to us, that our salvation is closer, our deliverance is closer than we might even anticipate. And might I say that if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ wants you to know him today. Repent. That means to have a change of mind. Change your mind from going your way and be willing to go God's way. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Be 100% sure of heaven when you say, "Lord Jesus, I can't save myself. I'm sorry for sin. Please come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.